The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Welcome back to the Discipleship Series with me and Pastor Elwood. Today we're going to be talking about something that is literally in the name of Discipleship Series, and that is how to be a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're unsure about that, or if you don't know what disciple even means, then this one is going to be for you.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, the word Christian gets tossed around a lot. People call themselves Christians, and it's almost become like a reduced word for a Jesus follower.
Yeah.
But a disciple holds weight. When you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are showing people who you follow, that you are following, you have picked up your cross, you have become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. Did you know that a disciple is mentioned 240 times?
Wow.
In the New Testament.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It carries weight.
It carries
a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ that follows his doctrine.
That's right.
And so therefore, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to follow his doctrine, what he has said in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that and you follow him intently, you have a commitment to him solely, and you can become a disciple of Christ. I'll tell you what, it's fruit bearing.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely fruit bearing in your life. And so
you will know them by their fruits.
Absolutely.
And that's how you tell a disciple. You know,
absolutely.
Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all mm-hmm. nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them what I have commanded you. And I will be with you all of your days.
Absolutely.
And so in that verse, it describes to you what we are to do, what the Great Commission is about. The Great Commission is being a disciple. If you call yourself Christian and you wear a cross necklace and all these things, it does not hold weight unless you are truly a follower of Christ. You know, when the disciples followed Jesus, he simply said, follow me. And when he said, follow me, he meant, hang up all the things that you were doing before. Leave whatever it was, and you are now a new creation, and you're going to follow me. And that's a personal choice that each one of us makes.
Absolutely.
And so when you are called and the Lord has, you know, shaken you up and stirred your heart to come and follow him, then it's up to you if you truly want to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
A disciple is somebody who learns from the teacher. And so the teacher is Jesus Christ. He is mm-hmm. showing us throughout the Bible exactly what we are to do. He shows us how to walk, how to talk, how to do the Great Commission, how to raise up other disciples. He shows us everything right in that book. And the sad thing is, a lot of places that you go, even churches nowadays, people's not read the whole Bible. They've not even started it.
That's
they just
right.
go to church and call themselves Christians.
Exactly.
And that is not a disciple of Jesus Christ. How can you follow Jesus Christ if you don't know his journey?
Mm-hmm.
And so I urge you, number one, to read that Bible. Whenever you read the Bible, you learn exactly what Jesus did. You are to be Christ like when you were a disciple.
That's exactly right. And you know, Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Amen.
And to take up your cross and follow Christ, you've got to have a real commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you don't have that real commitment, you won't last long.
Right.
And but you've got to have that commitment mm-hmm. and follow Christ and his teachings and what he said. And so many of them, they'll brush it to the side, you know, just like you talked about the hanging the cross around your neck, a piece of jewelry or whatsoever. And that doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't make you a disciple. It just makes something shiny around your neck,
I guess,
what you might say. To be a disciple of Christ, just like Peter and James and John, all the rest of them, they had a commitment to follow him. And we see what happened to their life.
Yes.
All of them was killed, except one, John, and he died of an old age. But the commitment that they had to Christ was to spread the gospel, reach out there to the people, reach out to the lost and undone. And that's exactly what they did, and it cost them their life.
Yeah.
Some people look at the cross as just something, like I said, it's a shiny piece of jewelry around your neck. But in the biblical days, that cross was it more or less represented the shame, you know. And so with them boys, they reached out, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it stirred them up out there, and it cost them their life, but they was committed to die for the cause of Christ. I'm afraid today there's not a whole lot of people that is committed to die for the cause of Christ.
That's right.
But if we're committed to Christ, then Christ will take care of us. He'll see us through.
Yes.
And so therefore, stay on board. Don't jump ship. Whatever you do, I know the devil wants a lot of people to throw in the towel, but it's no time to throw in the towel. The signs is all around us. It's and so therefore, just stay committed.
Amen. You know, we go to the Bible and we see exactly when Jesus said, follow me. And we see all the disciples and what they were doing. You know, Peter, he was out there fishing with his brother. And they, you know, he said, follow me. And they left their boat and everything in it.
Yeah.
And they followed Jesus. And so then we see where one of the disciples says, can I go bury my father? And he says, no, let the dead bury their dead.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know people think that's a very harsh verse. But what Jesus was showing is that there was nothing he could do. Not Jesus, but the disciple, he was showing him that, you know, his father's passed away. He's you know, buried.
Yeah.
And basically, there's not much he could do for him. But if he was to follow Jesus, if he leaves everything and he follows Jesus, then there's much he can do for the people out there. There's much he can learn. There's much he can do for everyone around him. And so, you know, whatever his reasoning was, Jesus was making a very, very strong point that we are to leave. And, you know, that Bible verse Elwood just read was deny yourself. We are to leave the old past behind. We are to deny our flesh of the fleshly things that it wants, and we are to follow Jesus Christ. I always go back to the old WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And you know, I learned that a long time ago in like vacation Bible school or something, but it just resurfaced and hit me so hard about a year ago when I started this journey about 4 years ago of coming closer to Christ. And you know, I was called to be a disciple. He said, follow me, and I was following. And so I had to give up a lot of things. I was going through the sanctification process and just really trying to purify myself so that I could be the best vessel possible for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I was giving up a lot of things, and I used this to help myself. I would look in the mirror, and if I was wearing whatever I was wearing that day, I would say, what would Jesus do? Or I would say, would Jesus be proud of me for wearing this? Does this glorify God? If I go out in this, will people look at me and know that I'm a disciple of Christ?
Yeah.
Or do I look like the world? And so that actually brings me to a great point. And, you know, I had this old friend, and she was holiness, the I can't remember their denomination, but it's basically holiness, Pentecostal holiness, though.
Yeah.
But she, you know, wore the skirts and her hair in a bun and everything. And I'll never forget the day she told me I was not welcome in her church. And she said, look at you, you know, look at you. You're not dressed holy. And, you know, at the time I was wearing decent clothes. Yeah. It just wasn't a skirt, and my hair wasn't in a bun, and I had a little makeup on. And, you know, her judgment there really was harsh, because, you know, I looked at her and I said, you mean to tell me that I couldn't walk in your church as a sinner that I am right now? I couldn't walk in your church and y'all wouldn't help me? Y'all wouldn't show me who Jesus is? And she said, well, you would probably get to come the first time, but the second time you'd have to wear what we wear.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my Lanta, let me just think of, you know, Jesus and his walk. There was never once that he shamed someone. There was never once that he said, go change your clothes and follow me. You know, go change. You know, we are called to sanctify ourselves and to be holy. We are called to do that and to straighten up things. But, you know, I felt like in that moment, it was a Pharisee type of moment where, you know, this person in their religion was kind of condemning. But anyways, back to the subject here of what would Jesus do? You know, I looked at it in that moment and I thought, you know, would Jesus be, can you tell, you know, she said that if she goes somewhere, people can tell her religion because of what she's wearing. And I thought, oh, wow, like that's different, you know? So then you look at the disciples and, you know, you got a fisherman, you have a zealot, you have so many different people, a tax collector.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you couldn't look at them and tell what denomination they were.
No.
So, you know, I'm like, that's not accurate. So you can look at someone and, you know, whatever they're wearing, and maybe you can base that off of what denomination they are. But if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, they're going to be able to see the Holy Spirit through you.
Yeah.
It is not what you're wearing. It's not if you have tattoos or not. It's not anything to do with your outer appearance as far as your clothing is. That's what they're missing. That's what a lot of religions are missing, as they believe that your outer appearance has to be perfect. But, you know, the Bible says that it is not what your flesh looks like. That's, you know, it's what's inside. You know, whenever you're dressed up, whenever you're wearing different things, that doesn't make you a disciple of Christ. How much money you have does not make you a disciple of Christ. How much influence you have and power does not make you a disciple of Christ. What makes you a disciple of Christ is following Him, is reading that Bible, knowing the walk that He walked, and you mimicking it. You know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And they both give us very good examples throughout the entire New Testament. Paul does, because, you know, Paul met Jesus on a road to Damascus, changed his whole life.
Yes, he did.
And so he's an example for us to go by as well of, listen, Jesus meets you where you're at, and then you change for Him. You start following Him, you start being Christ-like, and you start walking like Him and talking like Him and being a disciple of Christ.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig.
That's right.
You know, just because somebody thinks you have to dress like they do whatsoever, that's just not right.
I know.
You know, if you really want Christ to bless your life and follow Him, and you'll do everything possibly in your heart and life to follow Him.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit will let you know if you're doing something wrong. And I asked Deb one time, I said, Deb, I said, why is it that our home is not being blessed the way it needs to be blessed? You know, we was saved, we was going to church, but it seemed like there was just something that just wasn't right. And it was like one day, you know, we used to tape a lot of movies and the VHS or whatever those things. And a lot of them had cussing and swearing in them. And like you said, what would Jesus do? What would He do with this stuff?
That's right.
And, you know, so we got it out of our home.
Good.
We did. We got it out of our home. And so therefore we got rid of it. But the Holy Spirit was letting us know that there was a problem. The Holy Spirit won't beat you up, kick you. He'll just let you know that there's something wrong in your life that you need to get it taken care of. And not only he'll let you know, but he'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but as a disciple of Christ, He wants us to get rid of every baggage that will hold. Well, like Hebrews said, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. And He wants us to get those weights off. When I first started, got into the ministry, when I walked into the church, got behind the pulpit, I wanted to know that I was absolutely had nothing hidden whatsoever. And so I asked the Lord, I said, turn over every rock in my life. And that's exactly what He did. And I had to go back and apologize to some people that I had did wrong. And I know there's a lot of them out there say they don't do nothing wrong, but they do. But the Holy Spirit let me know for me to get as close to Christ and be a follower of Christ and to be a disciple of Christ, He turned over every rock in my life. And it's not easy to go back and what they may say, eat crow, you know. And but I had to go back and turn over every rock in my life to find out where I was and the things that was hidden. That a lot of times you just push them on the back burner, so to speak, instead of get rid of them. But they had to go.
Yeah.
And they did go. And that way, when you come in church, well, nobody could sit out there and say, well, I know what he did and I know what he said and all this. So it was done. It was taken care of. But to be a follower of Christ, disciple of Christ, we need an absolute commitment to Him that we will shun all evil, just as old brother Job did, and be the best that we possibly can be. The Lord will help us through those things. He'll give us strength and He'll lead us and guide us.
Yes, He will. Amen. So being a disciple to me, you know, there's people in this day and age, people call themselves different things. They call themselves apostles and prophets and all kinds of things. To me, a disciple is a very beautiful word because it shows that you're humility. It shows that you are following Christ and that you are walking in his footsteps. It's not an arrogant thing. It's not a boastful thing to say you're a disciple. You know, whenever I first started reading the Bible, I thought the disciples was just the 12 people that followed Jesus, yeah. and that was it. Uh-huh. Like, there's only 12 disciples. There's no more than 12.
Yeah.
You know, but then you read that Matthew 28:19 and mm-hmm. disciples of all nations, and Absolutely. You're like, oh my, there was way more disciples than 12. You know, and then obviously yeah. you see the rest of them come along through the rest of the Bible, and Paul calls a lot of people disciples,
yes,
you know.
He did.
And so when we see so many people being disciples, you think, oh, I can be a disciple. You know, Jesus would so have me. Mm-hmm. I can be a disciple. And so I think it's a beautiful thing that you and I can become disciples. And all it takes is that you have a heart and a willingness to follow God.
Yeah.
That's it. Follow Jesus, what he taught, how he walked, all of those things. That's what a disciple is. And so you can be a disciple. All you have to do is pick up your cross mm-hmm. and follow him. That's
yep.
what the Bible says. And by that, you know, that's by no means very easy. It is definitely, it says deny yourself and pick up your cross. And so you do have to deny things of the flesh, things
yeah.
that you, things that you like to do, the sins and things that are weighing you down. And you see, the reason that you want to deny those things is because they keep you from the Father. Sin keeps you from Jesus. And so if you have all these
yeah.
sins and this baggage that's on repeat, you know, it's like chains, and it's just weighing you down, you know. But Jesus came to break those chains
yes,
off
he did.
Of you. And so if you give it to the Lord and you want to be his disciple, then he will teach you. But it obviously takes you being willing. You know, the disciples, when he said, follow me, to them, if they didn't say, okay, and follow him,
yeah.
you know, then they wouldn't have ended up, you know, being his close companions.
That's right.
They wouldn't have learned from him, but they said, okay. And so that's what you have to do as well. Jesus has commissioned you to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this, then you're probably already a Jesus follower, maybe a disciple, maybe you're at work with it, you know, but maybe not. Maybe you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior yet. And it's a beautiful thing because anybody can. I don't care what your past is, what you've ever
yeah.
done before, you can be a disciple
that's
of Jesus
right.
Christ. He can train you up. He can raise you up. He can change you from whatever it was you've ever done into something beautiful. He
Absolutely.
Takes anything bad and can turn it to good.
Absolutely.
You look at Paul for that ultimate example. Paul was not a good fellow.
No.
Paul was persecuting Christians and doing things far worse than what you have done. But yet, Jesus saw the good in him. Jesus saw him, and he met him on the road to Damascus and changed that boy forever.
Absolutely.
And Paul became one of the greatest apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that too. You can meet Jesus wherever you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing in your life right now.
Yeah.
You can meet Jesus on that road, and you can become a disciple of Christ too.
Yeah. You know, Paul thought he was doing what was right.
Yeah.
And but to be a follower of Christ and be a disciple of Christ, you have to have a renunciation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, and it brings me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, children, and brother, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Ooh.
In other words, the renunciation, Christ has to be first.
That's right.
He has to be first.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people will take that literally. You know, you're supposed to love. You ain't supposed to hate. And this, and that's what it's just saying, that you just put Christ before your father, your mother, your sister,
yes.
your brother. And as a pastor, at one time, I had God, the church, and my family,
mm-hmm.
which was wrong.
Oh, wow.
I found out later it was wrong. It's God, family, and then the church.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, as a the follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, you got to have the renunciation of the things in your life that Christ has to be first. There's no second.
Right.
There's no second whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
He has to be first. And when you do this, and just like Kayla said, there any of you out there that's been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you can be a disciple of Christ, because he expects us to bring forth fruit.
Yes.
And as John said, if the tree fails to bear fruit, it's good for nothing but to be hewed down and cast into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people sitting in the churches this day and time, and if our churches was bringing forth the fruit that it should be bringing, we'd have churches full of people.
That's right.
You know.
Yep.
And,
it ain't for the lack, because people are hungry. We
yeah.
see that with our revival.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Christ has to be first.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put him first, well, everything else will fall in place.
Amen.
And there'll be things coming in your life that you will have to renounce, because I'll tell you what, it's the greatest life you'll ever live.
That's right.
It's the greatest life you'll ever live. And it'll be the happiest life. You can go to bed and won't have to worry about getting up tomorrow morning with a hangover or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. You can get up with joy unspeakable and full of glory with a smile on your face if it's raining or whether the sun's shining or not. But to be a disciple of Christ, it is absolutely an honor and a privilege.
That's right.
And
the Bible talks about that too. The Bible explains that if you love Him, if you love Him, then you will want to follow Him. You will want to do good. You will want to bear fruit. You will want to go and do these things. It's not a requirement to work. It's not, you know, we can't work for salvation. That's not something that can happen. Mm-hmm. But if we love Jesus, then we will want to work. We will want to work for Him. We will want to show fruits. We will want to, you know, show everybody else the kind of life that we live so that they can have it too, and show them the freedom that comes with Christ, and show them that they can obtain their salvation too. Those are things that you should desire as a disciple of Christ. And so the Bible, you know, it's very clear on showing what it is to be a disciple of Christ. And the thing is a lot of people don't read the Bible to be able to know. Mm-hmm. And so first and foremost, you got to read that Bible. Yes. I mean, you have to read it to be able to know how to follow Jesus and be a disciple. It is a must to read the Bible.
Absolutely.
If you ask me, I don't think you can be a disciple without reading. Because if you don't know the Word and you don't know who Jesus truly is and you don't know how to be a disciple and you don't have those instructions in that manual right there, then how do you know? How are you going to know how to follow? How are you going to know what God expects of you? And so it does come with a certain amount of work for you. That means that, you know, you have to put faith in action. You have to be the one reading the Bible for yourself and knowing. The Bible says, study thyself approved. Yeah. And if you're not studying and you're not trying to, you know, show that you're hungry and that you want to know the Word, then you're not studying at all. You're being complacent.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, you said something a minute ago that really, the Lord told me real quick, you know, you said God first and how it meant to you and how you realized God being first. Well, you know, I feel bad for saying it, but so many people will have on their profiles God first, you know, on anybody's profile, you'll pull it up, you know, and a lot of people, they'll say God first on there, and it don't take you scrolling but 2 seconds to find out God is not first. And I know that that's, you know, we're not to judge others and everything, but, you know, we are to judge righteously and be able to help people repent. But anyways, what I'm saying is there are a lot of people out there that are not disciples of Christ. They may say God first, but they don't truly mean that. And you can tell if they're a Christian, if they're a lukewarm Christian, if they're somebody that's complacent in their faith, or you can look at someone who's a follower of Jesus Christ, and you should be able to tell, like, hey, that person right there, they're really trying to walk like Jesus. And we're not perfect, you know.
No.
All of us are going to fail. We're going to have sins and things that happen in our lives. But you should be able to look at someone's life and know them by their fruits. Are they bearing fruits? Do they look like they are Christ-like? Are they doing the things of Christ? And like I said, we will all fail at some times. We will all have things that we do that are very fleshly. But you should overall be able to look and see if someone is Christ-like or not. And, you know, I feel like one of the worst things you could say to a Christian is, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. I didn't know you were saved.
Yeah.
And you see that happen a lot to a lot of people. And if someone's saying that to you, oh, I didn't know that, well, then you're not walking the walk. People don't know who you stand for and who you follow, then you're most likely not a disciple of Christ. Yeah. People around you should be able to see a change in you. They should be able to see the light of the Lord in your face. They should be able to see that Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if they don't see those things, then you're likely not a disciple of Christ. And so, you know, that can change at any moment. It's up to you. If you want to be a disciple, the option's there for you. All you have to do is start reading that Bible and learn what a disciple is. And as you learn, you become a disciple of Christ.
That's right.
But it's a choice that you make.
Absolutely.
Do you want to be a disciple?
To be a disciple, like as we always said, you got to forsake all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to forsake all.
Yeah.
You got to leave all. Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
And so therefore, you say, well, how can I forsake all? I've got to work. I've got to do this. God expects us to work, you know, to supply the need for a family. But he does require us to forsake the world and out there, you know, because we're not of the world. And so when we forsake the world and put Christ first and everything, then the disciple can grow as it, like you said, Caleb, study and read the Bible. Like you said, you've got to read this. You've got to, that is your roadmap to heaven. And it's your mirror. It looks back at you as you're reading this. And when something comes across there, you read it, and all of a sudden it slaps you upside the head, you know there's a problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to fix a problem. But we've got to forsake all. Mm-hmm. And God will bless you as you grow in your discipleship and out there to reach out to the lost and undone. And be that individual that God wants you to be. Let them see your fruits. Mm-hmm. Let them see your fruits. You know, there used to be a thing, a commercial on TV, be like Mike. You know, a lot of these young kids and young boys want to be like Michael Jordan.
I was going to say Michael Jordan. That's
yeah. And so they want to be like Mike. They want to play like him. They want to jump like him.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But as a Christian want to be a disciple, we want to be like Christ.
Ooh.
To be like Christ, we got to forsake all. Just stay on track. I know there's a lot of people out there said, how in the world can you be like Christ when somebody swears at you and tells things about you and lies on you like that? Don't you want to get even? Well, the carnal flesh will want you to get even. But as Jesus lives inside of your heart, you'll forgive these people.
Yes, he will.
You'll forgive these people.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is Endgame Economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And you'll go on and live your life and still be what God wants you to be. You'll be the example.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't forsake all, we're not going to be a disciple.
That's
of
right.
His.
You know, Jesus, as he went to the cross, he said, forgive them, Father.
Yes.
For they know not what they do. And there are going to be people in your life that do things and they don't know what they're doing. They're doing things out of, Satan. Satan makes them do some things and they, they listen. But when you're a disciple of Christ, then you're listening to the master. Your master's different. You're listening to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Bible talks about, you can't have two masters. And so you either listen to the voices of Satan or you listen to the voices of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And so, that's a choice that you make. You decide who you listen to. You decide who you follow. A lot of people think if they don't follow Jesus, then they're free of religion. They're free of, I don't have a master. Yes, you do. You were chained down by sin. And you have a master, and it's not good. And so, if you want to follow Jesus, though, following Jesus comes with freedom. It comes from so much freedom. Like, you are free from those addictions, from, all the dirtiness of your life, any profanity, any illnesses and things. There's so many things that the devil keeps people in shackles over, and it's agreements that you make with him. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he's the one that frees you. He is the chain breaker, the miracle worker.
Yes.
He heals people. He delivers people. He is the one that is so good.
That's
and
right.
So if you want to be a disciple, you can absolutely be a disciple. You don't need a big resume and you don't need, no polished clothing. You need to just come to the Lord with everything you have and you lay it at his feet. I hear all the time people say, I want to work for Jesus like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, man, you can.
Yeah.
You can. All you have to do is what I did, and that was just give it up. You give up this life, you give up the fleshly things, and you surrender your life, and you start living for the Lord. Now, it does take action, like I had said before. It takes you reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do it for you. A pastor for 30 minutes once a week is not doing enough for you to be a disciple of Christ.
No.
You to be a disciple of Christ is going to take your action. It's going to take you seeking the Lord. The Bible says, seek me and you will find
me. That's right.
You have to seek him. And so that is up to you. If you want to be a disciple, though, you absolutely can. There's no big application process. This ain't a passport. It ain't going to take you months to get it. You can be a disciple now. You pick up your cross and you follow him. Picking up your cross and denying yourself and following in Him. And then it's a journey, and it's a beautiful journey. It's a journey where you follow and you give up things that you don't want. You purge yourself of the unclean things, and you become a new creation. You follow mm-hmm. Christ, and you know, it's so much lighter. You feel so much better when you are following Christ than you would, you know, in the world. Whenever you're in the world, depression, anxiety, sorrow, grief, pain, all of these things happen in the fleshly realm. But when you submit yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm done with this fleshly stuff.
Yeah.
And you start seeking the spiritual side and you let the Holy Spirit guide you and you follow Jesus, well, then everything changes. You know, and you see this example in the Bible. There's an example in the Bible of Paul and Silas, and they end up being thrown in prison, and they're in prison, and they've been beaten, and they're in chains, and you know what they're doing? They are singing praises to God, and God comes and sends an angel and frees them, and then the jailer ends up being baptized.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a whole thing, but Paul and Silas, and what it, instead of them wallowing in their pity, instead of them thinking about self, they were still for the cause of Christ. They were still glorifying God. They knew that He was going to save them and break them free. And so they were true disciples of Christ. They knew that this fleshly realm and all the pain they felt and all the things they submitted, they just gave those things up and they laid them at the feet of Jesus. And He came through and He delivered. And He can do the same for you and
That's
I.
Right.
You just have to look to Him. If you want to be a disciple, you absolutely can be. But you have to have the kind of attitudes that Paul and Silas had. You have to praise through the storms.
Yeah.
You have to seek the Lord with all your heart. They were doing the will of the Lord when they had those things happen to them.
Yes, they did.
They were going out and they were preaching the gospel and they were telling people who Jesus Christ is. And that's why they were persecuted. And so, you know, for you, you can be a disciple of Christ too. You can go out and you can tell the gospel just as they did. How many times do you pass people throughout the day and you never tell them about Jesus?
That's right.
You never tell them who Jesus is. Do you know that God might have had a divine intervention set up to where you were going to cross paths with somebody that desperately needed your prayer or desperately needed you to tell them who Christ is, and you just walked on by them?
That's right. So
being a disciple of Christ, that means in all areas of your life, when you go to Dollar General, when you go to the doctor, wherever you're going, you're telling people about Christ. And that is being a disciple. It is truly leading with love. It is showing people who Jesus is despite your circumstances, despite what you're going through, you're going to tell people who Jesus is and of His goodness.
Mm-hmm. You know, Paul was a well-educated man.
Yeah.
And even though he's breathing out threatening and slaughter against the Christians, but after he told Jesus, said, "What would you have me to do?" And we know the story where he was struck blind, went down to Ananias' house and had sent Ananias there to him. But Paul said, in his walk in life, he said, "I count all things as dung for the cause of Christ."
Mm.
All things.
Yep.
His education and everything. When God set his tracks on fire, He set him on fire. He filled him with the Spirit of God, and he was a disciple of Christ. He said in Philippians, I think it is, "Follow my lead."
Mm-hmm.
Follow my lead. Can people out there say today, "Follow my lead"? We are born with a sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're born with it. And that sin nature sometimes wants to rise to the top. And that is why it's so vitally important to be filled with the Spirit, be sanctified, holy, for the use of an almighty God. And when we get like that, then we can become the disciple that Christ wants us to become.
Mm-hmm.
Then people can watch your life and people can see how you react in certain situations. I've been called everything but a Jersey milk cow, you know, but I forgave those folks. And all that they did and everything like that. I'm sorry, Kayla.
I'm going to call you a Jersey milk cow because of that.
But anyway, you can forgive people and you say, "Well, I can't never forgive this person for something." Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. I had a lady one time, her son got killed. He was murdered.
Oh, wow.
And it was in Powell County. And so he was a sheriff. And this man killed him. She was coming to the church. I was pastoring there. That's when I just started my ministry. And I went to this church, and they wanted me to stay there 3 months. And she told me, she said, "Elwood," she said, "if I don't forgive that man that has taken my son's life, I'll not be able to make heaven my home."
Wow.
I said, "You are exactly right. You'll never forget it." But it no doubt that it was a painful process that she went through to get where she could feel, forgive that man.
Yeah.
That man's still in prison today. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to go through some things. Mm-hmm. But you got to have a forgiveness heart, a forgiving heart to get through these things. And you got to be steadfast. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
That's right.
If you continue in my word. Mm-hmm. We got to stay in the word.
Yes, we do.
It is vital. It ought to be like the air we breathe. Mm-hmm. If we don't get in it, there's something missing.
Yeah.
You know. But get in your word. The closer you get to Christ, the more love you'll find in your heart, the more forgiveness that you'll have for other people. You may not ever forget it, but you can forgive them. And you can hug their neck and love on them, but you can forgive them. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, when you're able to do that, then God is ready to do something miraculous in your life. He's ready to make you fruitful for the people that is around you.
Amen.
So,
I love it. I think that being a disciple, even pondering on that word, can have you reflect on your own life. If you sit there and you think, am I a Christian? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because like I said in the very beginning of this, a lot of people will call themselves Christians. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. They are very quick to say that. You know, and they'll say, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, so did the devil.
Yeah,
he knew who Jesus was. The difference was that he didn't follow Jesus.
That's right.
So that is the biggest difference. You know, a Christian may be somebody who believes in Jesus. You may think that he's real and you may believe that he died on the cross and whatnot. But if you don't follow him, do you truly believe in him? Because even Satan did that. Even the demons do that. It says in the Bible that even the demons know who he is.
Absolutely.
So, and the devil quoted scripture. And so we see these things, and it does not make you a Jesus follower to be somebody that believes in Christ. Well, if you believe in Christ, it's, you know, like I said, the devil even believed that he was real. And so, you know, I think that's a huge statement. It's something that might ruffle the feathers of some of the religious people, but, you know, I don't work to appease any of them anyway. You know, I'm a disciple of Christ, and that's what I work for. I work for Christ. And so when he gives me them words to say, I say them very fearlessly. And so I truly believe that we are in a day and age where there's so many people out there that call themselves a Christian, but they are not a follower of Jesus. They do not follow Jesus. And you can tell. It's very, very quick to be able to see if a person follows Jesus or not. Now, that doesn't mean, like I had said before, it doesn't mean that you are spotless and blameless completely. There's going to be times where you do sin in your life. You're going to trip up. You're going to mess up. But you know, the difference in being a Christ follower is that he forgives you.
Yeah.
He forgives you of anything that you could possibly do. But you know, when it comes to being a disciple of Christ, you should be able to look at someone and tell. You will know them by their fruits if they're working for the Lord or not. And you know, a lot of being a disciple of Christ is denying the flesh completely.
Right.
You know, there's times where there's things that you want out of life. You may have wanted to become this, 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 but God had a different plan for you.
Yeah.
You know, I never wanted to be a baptizer. I didn't like swimming with the fishes. I like to catch the fish, not swim with them. But you know, the Lord said, this is where I need you. And that's where I went. And so, you know, being a disciple, it's following Christ and all that he has for you and what he needs you to do. And so, you know, for me, it happened to be that he needed me to teach people from the Bible, and then he needed me to baptize.
Yeah.
And so therefore, that's what I do. I've submitted my flesh, and I've said, use my hands and use my feet and use my mouth to your will. Not my will be done, but your will. And whenever you submit your will for your life and you say, Lord, I want it to be your will, then he will use you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a disciple, then he is more than happy to use you to change other people around you. But the biggest difference is, like I had said, submitting yourself, not just calling yourself a Christian because you go to church once a week and wear a cross, not because you put it in your bio that God is first. It is showing that you are a disciple of Christ. It is displaying the love of Christ through everything that you do, that you radiate with the Lord, that you want other people to know about him, that you go out and you tell the Great Commission. You tell people who Jesus is. You don't just walk past people like they're not people, and you make sure people know, hey, Jesus loves you.
That's right.
And teaching people the love of Christ, you know, through you, like that is what Jesus wants to do with your body and your hands and your feet, is he wants to be able to use them to, you know, the Bible says we can heal the sick. sick, you place your hands on someone, yeah. you can cast out demons and heal the sick and do far greater things. The Lord said that we should do greater things than even He did on
That's
this earth.
Right.
And that is huge. And so when you look at your life and you ask, is God using me?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, then you reflect on why. And you say, all right, I want to be a disciple. I do, God. I want to be a disciple. Use me. So then you're going to have to submit your flesh. You're going to have to deny yourself, deny your flesh. And you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. And He will teach you. You read that Bible and He will teach you through the Bible. But it's going to take time for you. You know, the disciples, all the disciples, they followed Jesus for a long time before He sent them out two by two to heal the sick and cast out demons. You know, you must do the legwork. You must read that Bible and truly, truly be seeking Jesus and His teachings and learning each thing, cleaning up your own life and learning. And then He will send you out and He can use you for great and mighty things.
That's right.
But it cannot be for yourself. Self cannot be involved at all. It can't be something that you want for righteousness upon yourself. You want people to look at you. You want the glory, because the glory ain't about you. None of it's about you. And so when you're a disciple of Christ, you literally, just like Paul and some of the others in the Bible, someone tried to bow down to, I think it was Paul. And he's like, whoa, I'm just a human. Get up.
Yeah.
Same thing in the book of Revelation. There was an angel and someone tried to, you know, bow down and worship the angel. And he said, I'm a servant like you. Mm-hmm. No. And so, you know, the glory and the honor and the praise, it's not going to you as a human. When you are a disciple, it's going to Jesus and Jesus only. You are a worker. You are a servant for Jesus Christ. And that's what I am. That's what Elwood is. We have given our lives to the Lord and said, use us and truly become disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a disciple is someone that has a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And wants to be like Him.
That's right.
And so therefore, if you want to be like Him, why, you will screw with all evil. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you shall bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Much fruit. He was talking about fruits a while ago.
Yeah.
So shall you be my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
God expects us as a disciple of His to tell everybody we come in contact about Christ.
That's right.
Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so therefore, we want to be fruitful.
Yes.
We want to bear fruit. And this is the reason that I know I said so many times, pastures don't produce sheep. Sheep produces sheep.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if the sheep will go out and produce sheep, in other words, bring them in and tell them about Christ, well, you know, they start on their journey of being a disciple of Christ.
Yes.
But He expects us to bear forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a world that is lost and undone out there, a world that people that is looking for something in their life that they can hang their hat on, I guess what you might say saying is. But I'll tell you what, when these people come to these baptisms, they're coming expecting. They're coming and they're coming to get something from God. And when they leave there with an experience like they've never had before. And that's the same way as a disciple. He ought to be able to let these people know about an experience that he's had with God.
Mm-hmm.
That it'll make it, I don't want to say it wrong like this, you almost become a salesman for Christ.
Yeah.
So to speak, you know. And so what are we selling? Are we selling His love, His kindness, or whatsoever? But if we are going to be a disciple of Christ, we've got to absolutely put Him first. We got to bear fruit. We've got to tell people about Christ. And I know there's a lot of people who says, well, I can't talk. Well, Moses said that too, and he figured out he was wrong. But even though God sent him a helper, but people gossip and everything else, and they talk doing that. So surely we can talk, tell them somebody about Christ. Let's bear the fruit, because I really truly believe, and I know people's heard this all their life, time is quickly running out.
Yeah,
it's running out. And so we want to take as many people to heaven with this as we possibly can. We want our families to go. We want our sisters, our brothers to go. And so therefore, tell them about a Jesus that saves them, what He's done in your life, and how He has just blessed your life tremendously. And He has blessed me for 68 years now. I'm a 68-year-old old man. But for 68 years, God has blessed me. And I wasn't always saved. I wasn't always that nice person, but through Christ, He changed my life completely. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, He's better than buttered beans. I shouldn't have said that, but anyway, He's better than buttered beans anytime. But anyway, let Christ use you for the glory of His kingdom.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, you'll never, 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 amen, think that you never done anything wrong by letting Christ have your total control of your life. Amen. And you can be a disciple of His and reach out to the lost and undone and get them in before it's too late.
That's right. That's right. I guess I got a couple last questions just to ask. This is a little self-reflection for anybody listening. Number one, do you follow Jesus or do you follow the world?
Yeah.
Number two, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Number three, are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? And all of those questions right there will show you what you're doing in your life and how to correct them, how to really follow Jesus. If you're not living this life for Jesus and you are living it for yourself, that's going to show. It's going to show that everything you do throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month is going to line up for you. You're going to be gaining money, gaining all of these other things, but what are you doing for Christ? Are you doing anything working towards your relationship with Christ? Are you doing anything and producing fruits for Him? Are you going out and doing the Great Commission and telling people about Jesus?
Yes.
And if it's no in all of those things, then you are living this life for yourself. You're not living it for Jesus. And so those things can change. That's the beautiful thing about repentance is that you reflect upon your life and you see what you're doing and are you living it for you or are you living it for Jesus? And then you can change. You can say, you know what? I haven't been a disciple, but I would like to be.
Yeah.
And Jesus can use you. He's not going to use you if you are centered around self, if you are not submitting to Him, if you are not studying thyself approved and trying to learn mm-hmm. about Him, then you are not a disciple. But to be a disciple means that you want to follow Jesus, that you want to pick up your cross, you want to read that Bible and learn about Jesus and see the life that He lived so that you can replicate and that you can live a life worthy of Christ. And you know, the Bible says two things. You're going to either get to heaven and say that you're going to say, Lord, Lord, and He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, or He can say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm wanting to hear.
Absolutely.
That's why I live my life. I live my life for Christ out of obedience and love for Him. I love Him so much. He raised me out of a hospital bed of 12 years of a sickness that was trying to kill me. And the Lord raised me right out of that hospital bed. Why would I not want to live my life for Him?
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave it all up. I don't want anything in this fleshly world but Jesus Christ. And so that's why I live for the Lord. And that's why I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes it does take things like that happening to realize that, you know, hey, I was living for self. I was living this life, you know, for it was a Kayla's world for a while.
Yeah.
And no longer is it anymore. And so this can happen for you as well. If you truly want to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to realize that you want to live for Christ. You're going to follow Him. You're going to go and tell other people the same thing because you're so excited about the goodness of God.
That's
and
right.
You want their freedom too.
Yeah.
You see what it does and what happens when you follow Jesus. And you just want that for everyone else as well.
Absolutely.
So those questions right there, if you want to let them roll over in your mind and just think about it and just decide if you truly are a disciple, a follower of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, or if you've just called yourself a Christian and have some work to do.
Yes. You know, we just come out of Oklahoma and, you know, you see those people coming out of that water, their arms stretched up. And,
oh, yes.
My goodness, it's almost like some of them has just been set free, and
they have.
They go out and they'll tell people they have never experienced anything like this in their life. It makes you wonder sometimes out of the 1,483 people that was baptized there, how many of them will go out and become disciples of Christ?
Yes, most of them will.
Yeah.
They're going to tell everybody their testimony.
Absolutely. And God is just good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their life has been changed. It may have been in turmoil or whatever before they went in, but when they come out of there, they had a smile up on their face. They was joy. They was beaming like the noonday sun. And they come out of there with the victory.
That's right.
In their life. Mm-hmm. They had been set free. And so often, so many people fail to tell people about what Christ has done for them in their life, whether they brought them through sickness or whatsoever. I've had so many people tell me when I visit them in the hospital, when I get out of here, I'm going to tell everybody about Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come to church and all that. And 95% of them never show up. You never see them again. I'll tell you what, when those people have an experience, and when you have an experience, a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking a relationship. When you have that relationship one-on-one with Jesus Christ, it's the grandest thing in your life. Mm-hmm. You'll not be ashamed to tell anybody about Christ. You'll not be ashamed to tell what Christ has done for you, what He's brought you through, how He has set you up on a solid foundation. You'll not be ashamed because you know it's happened in your life and you know who did it. And so therefore, you're spreading the good news. And what you're really doing, you're showing the love of Christ out there is what He has showed you. Mm-hmm. You're planting that seed. You plant the seed and God will water it and let it grow. But I'm telling you, it's the best life you can ever live. Mm-hmm. Best life. I may not have a lot of money, may not have a lot of fancy cars, the biggest, finest home. But what I do have, money can't buy. It cannot buy.
You have Wilma. That's a pretty fancy car. What year is that car, Elwood?
2007.
I love it. I love it. But that just goes to show that we ain't after material things. You know, we're not. And it's a beautiful life. It is just like you said, to be a disciple of Christ, there's nothing this world can give you that will equal it. Nothing. It is an honor and a privilege to work for Jesus Christ. I would rather do nothing else than to bring honor and glory to His name.
That's right.
So I and Elwood, we are disciples of Christ. And if you are not, then you can be. We thank y'all for joining us on this episode of the Discipleship Series. We hope that we've been able to shed some light on what a disciple actually is so you can have reflection if you are one and hopefully become one. So we thank you again for being here. Hope we helped you today. And we'll see you soon on another episode.
Amen.